morning, we're going to continue on the sermon series, Keep On Casting. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together. We're going to be talking about keep on casting your bread upon the water.
It's time for another Holy Ghost-inspired message from God's Word, recorded live at Living Water Church in Bridgeport, West Virginia. Now, here's Pastor Jerry.
Father, thank you for another opportunity to get in your Word. And now I'm going to ask, Father, that today that you would minister to us. You would speak to us through your Word. And that we would go out of here refreshed, perhaps convicted, but doing what you ask us to do, Lord. And I'll thank you and give you praise. In Jesus' name, God's people say, amen and amen. Go with me. Ecclesiastes chapter 11 is where we get our text from and where I shared from last week. If you weren't here last week, I'll give you just a little recap, but go back and listen to it again in detail. But Ecclesiastes chapter 11, and I'm going to ask you to just continue to hold your finger there because we're going to be going to a couple places and then coming back there again or put a marker in there. Solomon said, cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Give a portion to seven and also to eight, for you know not what evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if a tree fall toward the south or towards the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it will be. He that observes the wind shall not sow, and he that regards the cloud shall not reap. As you know not what is the way of the Spirit or how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so you don't know the works of God who makes all. In the morning sow your seed, and in the evening withhold not your hand. For thou knowest not whether thou shalt prosper, it shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. Lord, bless that word this morning as we continue in that. Last week, we covered verses 1 and 2 pretty much in detail about what it means to cast your bread upon the water. It does not mean take your bread out of your refrigerator and go down to Tiger Lake or Stone Coal and throw it in the water, Joyce. Because then what you get is nothing back in return because it disintegrates and the fish eat it. Correct, Dante? So what does it mean? We talked about this. The casting that bread means that we are to give of our resources, to give of our time, to give of our talents, and anything else that God has blessed you with. You ought to cast that out and continue to disperse it amongst other human beings. Amen? You guys are quiet in here today. We are to take that which God has given and just cast it. In other words, throw it out, disperse it to as many people as we can throw it out to. And that was really the gist of what we talked about last week, that we ought to give that because then there's a promise of God that comes along with that that says, in many days, it will come back to you on the waters again. Now, this is a principle of God called the sowing and reaping principle, and God will provide for our provisions as we cast it out. Now, what happens when the casting stops? Huh? The reaping stops. Now, there's been so many people that have said, yeah, well, you know, I used to do that. I used to be very, very generous, and I used to give out, but I don't do it anymore. Well, you used to, and then you used to get the reaping back from it, but now there are a lot of bitter people that say, why isn't God doing what God said He would do for me? Because you're not doing what God asked you to do and keep on casting that bread upon the water. Several times I heard back from several this week and they were kind of excited that they were able to do something and to buy something or to give something. And my answer to that is, praise God, you kept on casting. And you're going to hear that and probably, maybe from here on out, I'm not going to ask you to give, I'm going to ask you to cast. And it was kind of funny, though. Adrian did not listen to the sermon, and he put up the sermon. I don't know if anybody of you saw it, but it was a man with a fishing pole that was casting. And he called me back and said, I messed that up. I didn't hear what the sermon was about. So I changed that. And so he changed the intro on that. And so this morning, we need to keep on casting if we want to keep on getting provisions back from God. So I'm going to continue here with at the end of verse 2. I want you to look at this. At the end of verse 2, he said, "For thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth." So I want to talk about this and verse 3, "If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves on the earth. And if a tree fall to the south, it lays there. To the north, it lays there." And a lot of times we have trouble understanding some of these things in the Old Testament. How many of you get that totally? Because Solomon oftentimes is speaking in metaphors. It's, you know, looking at and reading some things in Ecclesiastes is like reading the Song of Solomon, right? How many of you totally understand Solomon's song? It's difficult. And so we're going to break this down to you, because in verse 2, you know, he's telling us to give a portion to 7, give it to 8. That means give it out generously. Don't just stop at 1 or 2, but give it out generously, because you don't know what evil shall be upon the earth. In verse 2 and 3, Solomon is telling us to prepare for the bad times that will come in our lives, because we live in a fallen world. We live in a world that has evil in it. Now, if we lived in a world where there was no evil in that, then perhaps things would be different, but let's just face things as they are. Times are tough sometimes in our lives. Has anybody ever not had a tough time in their life? We lose someone that we love and is dear to us. Tragedies happen in life. This week, we just heard of a young lady that passed away, 25 years old, hit the patch of ice. As we thank God that our sister Kathy was, the angels of God were there, but these are tragedies that happen, and she went brain dead, and they thought that maybe that was coming back, but she passed away the next day. Just really tragic situations that happen, and all of us have been there, and all of us have experienced something in our lives, even if we're young, and, you know, we see things that happen. That's because life is sometimes not easy. Amen? And we're not going to sugarcoat it. And we're not going to say that, oh, if you just become a Christian, that everything will be fine and dandy and you'll never have any issues, you never have any hurts. Because that's just not going to happen. And sometimes bad things happen, and we've heard this to good people, but bad things happen to all people. John 16:33, and just going to be sharing some scriptures here, according to that, but John 16:33, we know this, that in this world you shall have what? Tribulation. But be of good cheer, because I have overcome. You see, back when was that, in the late 60s or whatever, you know, that song that came out, "I Never Promised You a Rose Garden." Some of you guys may not remember that, but you tell the age of the congregation here. Caleb's looking at me like, huh? But things happen in life. In this world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome. Matthew chapter 5, verse 45, Jesus, again speaking here, talks about that he sends the rain on the just and on the unjust. So things happen in life. And this is the point that Solomon is trying to make here. It is a metaphor that we need to understand that the clouds will come. And when the clouds come, they're going to drop rain. And it's not going to be a fun situation in every aspect of life. And if a tree falls towards the north, there it will lay. Often the scholars will look at that and say that is meaning that someone may die. And when they die, they're gone. And that's it. But Solomon is trying to bring to us is that these things happen. But we ought to be prepared by casting our bread upon the waters. Because as we do that, listen to me, it includes everything. Some people think it's just your money that you're casting out there. No, it is the time that you spend with people and how you respond to people and how you are there for people when they are going through things that are in their lives. Because sometimes we like to turn a deaf eye and say, well, they're going through something. Just let them go through it. You know, I don't know what to do about it. I don't know what to say. Sometimes you don't have to say anything. We all think we have to say something. But you don't. You just need to be there. Just be there. And if you need to hold someone, hold them. If you need to comfort them, comfort them. If you need to get something for them, help them with whatever. Listen, in the times when you need it, it will come back to you again. That's the promise of God. And that's what Solomon is trying to bring across here to us. Revelation 21, when you look back there at the end of things, and I love this, Revelation 21, verse 3 and 4. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears. And even in speaking of some of the things I was just talking about, some of us got teary-eyed because of situations and folks that we've lost and things that have happened, and tears have come to our eyes. You know, we just lost Brother Herb. He's gone on, promoted to glory, but we miss him. God shall wipe away every tear. Come on now. Amen. And there shall be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. So that's telling us, really, in this world, we will have those things. But Solomon, in his wisdom, was telling us, prepare. Prepare for those types of things to happen in your life. Because if you think that they will not happen, listen, you have another thing coming. Some of us have lived a lot of years on this earth. Some of us a lot more. I think Lisa was talking about this morning some things that are happening, you know, maybe forgetting some things or, you know. I say, wait till you get to our age, right? And I said that, and Brother Rick said, wait till you get to my age. And others can say that as we get older. But one of the things that we all realize if we've been around for any length of time is that there are sorrows that happen in our lives. And we cannot sugarcoat that. But it's what we do with this as far as what we cast. And listen, it needs to start while we're early in life. Start early in life. Start casting good things, giving out to others of yourself good things, not being selfish individuals. Because when these things happen, they will come back on the waters again with others. This is the promise of God, and if you think that's not the case, you have another thing coming. And so oftentimes, people have asked me with this sowing and reaping principle. They said, well, you know, why are certain people getting blessed? Because it appears that some people have turned their backs on God or whatever, and they say, well, they're still getting blessed. Why is that? It could be from earlier times of casting and sowing that those blessings are coming, but they will run out. Because this is the sowing and reaping principle. It doesn't just happen immediately. See, some of us are so short-sighted, we think if we sow yesterday, today it's coming. Or maybe we're just impatient. And we say, God, I sowed that yesterday, today I expect it. But just looking at the natural things, when you plant a plant, when do we start planting season? Somebody tell me. Already?
Yeah.
That tells you how much I know about it, right? Okay? But how long is it before you actually get the fruit off of your tomato plant? You usually see on the package the, what do you call that? The gestation period or whatever. What'd you say?
Maturation date.
Thank you. You can tell he plants stuff, right? I don't plant stuff. I don't usually do well with stuff in the garden because I usually, Judy got me a stone that says the Garden of Whedon. Okay? So. So I prefer just those of you that are blessed with that just to bring it here to the church and I'll pick it up, okay? So. I just lost my place, Lisa. All right. Keep on casting because it takes time and it will come back after many days. It will come back. The maturation date. That's a cool word. I like that. Okay. Now I want you to go over to verse 4. So now you understand what that whole business of clouds and trees falling and everything, it's a metaphor. For things are going to happen that are not good, or what we consider not good. So be ready for it. Verse 4 is really where I want to get into the heart of this, because in verse 4, he says, he that observes the wind shall not sow, and he that regards the clouds will not reap. Now, verse 4 really should get us going here. Because I'm going to read it in the Amplified Version. Verse 4 says, he who observes the wind and waits for all the conditions to be favorable will not sow. And he who regards the clouds to be just right for the reaping process will not reap his harvest. Does that make a little bit more sense to you? All right, what this is talking about, Solomon is talking about excuse makers. Now here's where it's going to get fun. He's talking about excuse makers, the ones that always come up with excuses of why they cannot sow. Because even in his days, there were people that were saying, well, I don't know. I just don't know whether I should or not. Well, you know, I can't do that because, well, the clouds just don't look right today. It's too windy today to sow. Because after all, you know, I might go out there and cast like this and the wind will take it and not even hit where I want, so I'm not going to cast at all. How many excuse makers do we have in the place? Nobody's going to raise your hand, are you? Thank you. One. You know, years ago, I learned some of these songs. They stick in my head. And we've done them once or twice here. But that old song, Southern Gospel song, Excuses. Excuses, excuses. You hear them every day. Now, the devil, he'll supply them to keep those folks away from church. You see, because if the devil can supply the excuses to you and keep you from doing the work of God and doing what God asks you to do in this whole casting process, then he knows that you will not reap anything in the future. And some of us, we love to have our excuses. And now, of course, that song talks about a lot of them, you know. You hear them every day. In the winter, it's too cold. In the summer, it's too hot. In the springtime, when you're feeling just right, you got someplace else to go. Up to the mountains, down to the beach, or to visit some old friend. Excuses, excuses, you hear them every day. Well, and the part that I really like is, well, that preacher, he's way too loud. Or maybe he's too soft. He ought to preach the word with dignity instead of stomp and snort. Well, he must be the world's most stuck-up man. You know, the other day in church, he didn't even shake my hand. He just walked right on by me, never gave me a hug. So therefore, I am going to do nothing. See, these are excuses that we use for not sowing. And some excuses that we use today, well, you know, I don't know what they're going to do with it. So therefore, I'm not going to sow. I'm not going to cast because, you know, people, if I do that for them, they might just go ahead and use it for something else. They might not use it for what I gave it to them to be used for. Or, you know, I spent so much time with them in here and they just ignore me. We come up with all kinds of excuses to not do what God has asked us to do in casting our bread upon the water. You know, yeah, there it is true that when you take some seed and you throw it, if the wind is blowing, some of it is going to be moved aside into other places that it shouldn't be. And listen, if we're honest with ourselves, we know that when we cast out sometimes, that it's not going to fall on fruitful ground. But Solomon says, who knows whether it will, and when it does, it's going to produce fruit. But if we say we're not going to do it because of our excuses, well, so-and-so might not use it right. He might take it, though they might take it and use it for this, or use it for that, or use it for, therefore I'm not going to do it. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't use wisdom. Because if we find out that somebody is misusing what we are giving of our time, resources, or whatever, then we don't do it anymore for them, okay? Let's not make it more than it really is here. But we are to be casting because sometimes it's going to fall on good ground. Sometimes it's not. But that doesn't give us the excuse, as Solomon says, well, you know, the wind's not right. You see a need out there. You're walking by somebody. Well, no, that's not right. You know, I can't help. Okay? And we do it. All of us have done it. Where we come up with reasons or excuses of why we shouldn't help or why we shouldn't do something. And Solomon is telling us here, our excuses are not going to cut it. So I heard a story about a man. He needed to clean out his gutters, but he didn't have a ladder. But he knew that his neighbor had a ladder. So he went over to his neighbor and said, "Excuse me, Mr. Neighbor, can I borrow your ladder?" And his neighbor said, "No, you may not." And he said, "Why not?" And because his neighbor said, "Well, the ladder is holding up the wall that it's against." And some of you just got that, right? The ladder is holding the wall up. And the guy said, "That's ridiculous. That is ridiculous." And the guy's answer to that is, he said, "When you don't want to do something, one excuse is as good as another." See, a lot of times when we're asked about doing something or going something, helping someone, doing this, giving that, we come up with excuses that are lame. We do. I want you to look at this, John chapter 5. Hold your finger, put something in there. But John chapter 5. Some of you may remember this parable. John chapter 5. Now, there's at Jerusalem, verse 2, by the sheep, a market, a pool, which is called in Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. Anybody ever read this before? In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, blind, halt, withered hands, waiting for the movement of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season in the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatever disease he had. All right, you got the picture here? There's this pool. Now, we don't know exactly what's going on here, but the scriptures say that an angel came down and troubled the waters, and when that happened, whoever was near said, I've got to get in because then I will be healed. And they were. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. Pay particular attention to that. And when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said to him, will you be made whole? The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steps down before me. Jesus said to him, rise, take up your bed, and walk. Now, initially when we hear this story, we feel really bad for this guy, right? He's impotent. And all the ladies that have a tender heart here, the guy's not so much, you know. The ladies are saying, that poor guy. That poor guy, he's laying there. But I want you to listen. How long was that man laying there? Thank you. 38 years. And in 38 years, do you think he could have figured out a way or to get someone to be ready when that happened to get him to that pool in 38 years? 38 years is a long time. But I think, according to this, that this man made a lot of excuses. Even when the master comes up to him and says, you want to be healed? You want to be done with this? Well, I don't know. Here's Jesus who had been healing people left and right, and he comes to the man and says, do you want to be healed? You've seen me do it to others. How about you? You want it? His first response is an excuse. Well, you know, I really can't be because I can't find anybody to put me down and I just can't get there. How many of us make excuses like that? We're full of excuses of why we can't do something or why we can't help someone or why we can't be there for someone. Such was the case with this man, but I want you to see what Jesus said to him. The very first word that he said was him, rise up. Get up out of your excuses. Get up out of making the excuses that you make. He'd been there for 38 years laying there. How many of us have been 38 years making our excuses of why we can't do what God asks us to do? And Jesus' answer is simply, rise up and start walking. Get a little quiet in here right now. 38 years. How many of us have allowed things to happen for that long in our lives? I'm telling you, people say, maybe later I'll do it. Luke chapter 14. This is actually one of my favorite stories as well. Luke chapter 14, verse 16. Then he said unto him, Jesus speaking here, a certain man had a great supper, and he bade many to come. And he invited people to this wedding supper. And he set his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for everything is ready now. And they all, with one consent, began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray you, let me be excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray that you have me excused. And another man said, I have just married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed the Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly to the highways and the byways and bring in the lame, the poor, and the blind. And that servant went and did it. I want you to look at this story. Those that he invited came up with excuses. Let's look at the excuses, Patty. Okay? I have just bought a piece of land, and I need to go and look at it. How many of you would buy a piece of land or a house without going and looking at it? Come on now, anybody in here, you would just buy it because you heard it was for sale and you would just buy it. What a lame excuse. I just bought a piece of land and I need to go check it out. You would not do that. How about this? We're going to just transpose this a little bit. The second excuse was, I just bought a car and I need to go check it out and see if it runs. Would anybody do that? Aaron, how about you? Have you ever had anybody come to your car lot back in there, Pastor Aaron, and say, I just want to buy that car. I don't care whether what it runs like or anything. Anybody ever done that?
No.
What a lame excuse. I just got a yoke of oxen. I need to go check them out, see if they actually can pull. And then my favorite one is the last one. I just got married. Therefore, I cannot come. What? You were invited. You said you would come initially to this, but all of a sudden you just got married. Was that just an instant thing? You just got married? Or was it a planned thing? Come on now, folks. All of these excuses are lame excuses. And that's why the master was angry. Because these were lame excuses. And he sends out and says, look, just go get anybody and everybody that will come because these all made excuses. How about us? Are we casting or are we making excuses why we can't do it? And we come up with all kinds of ones. And we look at it. How many analyzers do we have in the place? How many fly-by-the-seat-of-our-pantsers do we have? There's several of us in here. Okay. Sometimes the analytical people are the ones that make excuses so much of why we can't, because we analyze it before we do it. And by the time we've analyzed it, the opportunity is already gone. We must keep on casting. Keep on giving. Keep on. And God will give us opportunities. You know, I've said this before. When my pastor was dying, several weeks before he died, I went to see him and I said, what can you give me? What can you give me that I can carry on from here? And his only words were, teach the people to give. Always give opportunity for your people to give, to keep on casting, to keep on giving, to keep on giving, because that will sustain them and it will sustain your church. And it makes more sense to us now as we're seeing this play out. I'm telling you, we need to continue to cast and get rid of our excuses. going back. I think I might be able to finish this today. Look at this. Verse 5. As you know not what is the way of the Spirit, or how the bones do grow in the womb, even so you don't know the works of God who makes all. So by our excuses, we're trying to figure out, yeah, well, should I? Yeah, maybe not. You know, the wind's not good. The clouds are bad. No, I'm not going to do it. But according to this, he says, you don't know. He's making a comparison. How many of you know exactly how the Holy Spirit works? I'm glad nobody raised your hand. Because he moves in ways that are mysterious to us, not to God, but he moves in those ways. We don't understand that. How many of you completely understand how a child forms bones in the womb of his mother or her mother? Do we get that? I mean, how does that happen? Now, medically, we can probably explain it somewhat, but what makes it happen? God does that, and the way of the Spirit makes that happen. And Solomon is saying, just in the same way that you don't understand that, you will not understand this entire thing about giving. And there may be things that you don't understand. The Lord might speak to you and say, I want you to do this, or I want you to do that. And instead of analyzing it, just do it. Because you don't know what God is doing there. If you sit and try to figure it out, now you're putting yourself in God's place or in the Spirit's place, and God says, you're blocking everything that I want to do. When the Lord speaks to you, cast it out. If the Lord says, give this finances, give. If the Lord says, go help so-and-so, that's casting. I'm not saying cast out what the Lord said, okay? I'm saying cast out what you can give. Whatever it is. Time, resources, love, compassion, wisdom. Give it out. Because when you need it, it's going to come back. And this is what he is trying to tell us, is that we do not understand the extent of what God can do with what we cast out. Because we don't know what God is going to do. Romans chapter 8, we love that, don't we? Romans chapter 8, and God causes some things to work for his good. How many things? How many? You're not answering me. Thank you. All right. He says, I'm not sitting on the front row anymore. It doesn't matter. I still find you back there. Okay. And God causes all things to work together for the good of those who are the called according to his purposes by his grace. God can work it out. Aren't you glad he does that? So I think what the Lord is teaching me, and over the past several years, is, you know, I used to be that analytical person where, well, if a thought came into my mind, I would run it through. And by the time it got running through all the grist mill, at the end, the answer was, no, I'm not doing that. Okay? And I missed out so often of what God wanted to bless me with and what God had for me, because I ran it through my little computer and came out, I'm not doing that. Okay? Because we don't know, just the same as we don't know how some of these things happen, we don't know how God is going to work this out for us. The last verse. In the morning, sow your seed. In the evening, don't withhold your hand. Sow your seed. What's he trying to tell us, Philip? In the morning, all day long, sow the seed. Sow the seed. You just don't know what's going to come out of that. Amen? You don't know if you're going to be able to be instrumental in helping someone to come to faith in Christ. You don't know whether sometime down the line somebody is going to need you. Listen, I ran into somebody the other day, and again, this is about this whole casting business. Do this, because I ran into somebody that 23 years ago I had met. I could not remember their name, but when they saw me, they ran up to me and gave me a big hug, and I'm like, who is this woman? I don't know her. And if somebody sees this, Laura's going to say, who is that woman? Call me by name. I praise God Laura understands all this, you know. And come and just grab me and give me a big hug. And wanted to thank me for just being so kind to her. 23 years ago, I did not remember her name. But it doesn't matter. Keep on casting. Keep on casting, because you don't know how you're going to affect somebody. And that may come back. 23 years later, Doris, that came back. And this woman's like, oh, I'm like, who are you? Just thanking me. I did tell Laura about it. I always tell Laura when a woman gives me a hug, you know, because she needs to know. In case somebody say, did you know Pastor Jerry was giving a woman a hug? And they would. In the morning, in the evening, constantly, 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 Riley, constantly giving out, because it's going to come back. It will come back to you later. We don't know if some seed will come up. And this is what this verse says here, because you don't know whether it will prosper, either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. So you don't know whether some of the seed will come up, he's saying, or some of it won't, or maybe all of it will. Either way, it doesn't make any difference to me how many of you want it coming back. And here's the thing that I wrote down here. You have to constantly do this, and you purposefully do this. In other words, you make it a purpose in your life to do this. And some people have said to me, well, you know what, Pastor, I can't do that because it's just not who I am. You know, I feel uncomfortable giving and helping. Well, you know one way to feel more comfortable? Do it. How many of you, when you started your job, were a little uncomfortable? Or were you just so smart you just got it first day? Man, I'm good. You have to be purposeful about this. And I want to close this series, and this is found over in 2 Corinthians. Probably you've heard this before, but this has to do with being purposeful about your casting. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. But this I say, he which sows sparingly shall reap sparingly, and he which sows bountifully shall also reap bountifully. Every man according as he has purposed in his heart. So let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, that you always having sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. You see all the positives that are right there? In all things, every good work, all sufficiency. How many of you would like to be guaranteed that you have all sufficiency for the rest of your life? So you don't have to worry about it. Anybody? Okay, one in the back. Yeah. Anybody else? How many of you like to just know you're going to be taken care of the rest of your life? Here's the answer. Here's the answer. You can't be stingy and expect provision. You can't do it. Just can't do it. And get rid of all your excuses, okay? Well, you know, I really need it. What? So you can go buy your $6 cup of coffee? Now, I'm not saying that God won't let you go get your $6 cup of coffee. But if the Lord is asking you to give away your $6 cup of coffee, then give it away. Purposefully doing this. You know what? I wish I had learned this a little bit earlier in life. But I thank God that I had learned it. And I'm continuing to learn it and continuing to give out. And this is what I want us to be purposeful about doing. Living Water Church should be purposeful in our giving. We're giving sewing machines away. Some people think that's absolutely ridiculous. And I've had people over the years that are not from here, okay? Not from here, but have said, you know, why don't you take, instead of giving away all that money, why don't you take it and pave your parking lot out here? I mean, that way we won't get cracks in our heels and stuff when we walk on the stones. My answer to that is what? Living Water Church is going to keep on casting. And if the Lord wants to bring back and somebody to pave the parking lot, that's fine. But I would rather spend the money on human beings. We're still good. Anybody fall through the parking lot lately? It's still there. And I'm as they say in the South, I'm not again it. I'm sorry, that just popped out, okay? Adrian and I talk a lot, and he talks that way sometimes, so I'm not against it. I'm not against it, but I am rather for casting and helping meet needs that are out there, because that's what counts. That's what counts. And God's not against us having nice things. He blesses us. If you know anything about the sowing and reaping, you know He blesses us. But be willing to be purposeful about your giving. We have to keep on casting our bread upon the waters, because after many days it will come back, and God's provisions will never stop. Let's quit using excuses. And just be willing. The best thing that I can tell you is quit running it through your analytical section on your computer up here. And if you sense the Holy Spirit is asking you to do something, just be obedient. Just do it. Just do it. Amen? Amen. Amen. Father, thank you for this word today. That it would challenge us the rest of our lives, God. All of us that have heard this and the watching online, challenge us to keep doing that and to be purposeful about it, Lord. Because we don't know what you're going to do with it. And we trust you. God, we praise you. And Lord, I'm going to ask that you would forgive us, because so oftentimes we've missed it. We haven't cast it. And I thank you, Lord. Give us more opportunities to be able to keep your word. In Jesus' name.
We thank you for listening to today's message and pray that the Holy Spirit touched your heart. If you would like to support this ministry, please send your donation to Living Water Church, 1000 Hall Valley Drive, Bridgeport, West Virginia, 26330. Living Water Church is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Your gifts are tax deductible.